In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear family, today we honor and venerate the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of our Lord and God. Amazingly, so many people do not get it, that we honor and venerate the woman full of grace. Not because she dropped off Jesus at daycare so she could enter the workforce, which is part of, literally, the commie socialist agenda that she warned us about in Fatima. No, that's not why we honor her. Somehow she attained to some status in the world. No, we honor her because her glorious vocation was motherhood. There is no higher purpose for a woman, no greater vocation than motherhood. The error of Russia teaches us something different. There is no higher purpose for a woman than motherhood. So what does a mother do best? Serve her children, love her children, take care of her children. Which is why our Blessed Mother serves and continues to serve us by guiding us to her Son. She knows what's best for us. Yet some people might say, well, what's the big deal about the Holy Rosary? St. Pio, Padre Pio, certainly thought it was a big deal. Remember, he called it his Holy Rosary, his weapon against evil, against the forces of evil. You remember, through the grace of God, St. Padre Pio sometimes levitated during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. He could bilocate, he could read souls. And he said it's his weapon against evil. And you remember that the Holy Rosary is nothing other than praying the words of sacred scripture. The prayers are straight out of the Gospels. And meditating on the Gospels of the mysteries of Jesus' life. So let us compare, shall we? Let's just do a simple comparison. Some anti-Holy Rosary person on the one hand, and St. Pio, sacred scripture, the holy gospels, the gospel mysteries on the other. There's really no reason to even debate it. Somebody doesn't get it. If they have a problem with it, then they have a problem. Some kind of questions like that just kind of answer themselves. Our Blessed Mother loves us. And so like any loving mother, she guides us and she encourages us to emulate her own grace-filled life of faith in order to attain to eternal salvation. And like a good mom, she warns us about the evils in the world so that when it happens, we still will believe. Just like Jesus did when he warned the apostles three times about his passion and death. And just like Jesus did at the Last Supper, telling his apostles things before it happened so that when it happened, their faith would not be shaken, like John 13:19, John 14:29. Like that, our Blessed Mother has warned us repeatedly at Fatima and ever since of the ultimate Russian error, the destruction of family, leading to a godless, secularized, secular state. And since Fatima, we've had similar testimony of so many luminaries in the church. Here are just a couple. In 1980, Father Scanlon, who served as president of the Franciscan University of Steubenville from 74 to 2000, roughly 26 years, he related a message, a prophecy from our Lord. My church is desperately in need of judgment. Nobody was listening back in 1980. That's why we had our problem in 2002. My church is desperately in need of judgment. They have continued in an adulterous relationship with the spirit of the world. They're not only infected with sin, he's talking about the church, not only infected with sin, but they teach sin, embrace sin, dismiss sin. Their leadership has been unable to handle this. That's 1980. It's only gotten worse. Such messages as Father Scanlon are not isolated or even rare. Indeed, several popes including more recently, both Pope St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI had such similar statements to make, such similar statements to guide us. St. John Paul II's response to German Catholics in 1980, when he was asked what was going on in the church, what was going on to the church, was strikingly similar to Father Scanlon's. He said, "We must prepare ourselves now to suffer great trials before long." Remember that? "Such as will demand of us a disposition to give up even life." Look what that beautiful Cristero, that 14-year-old Cristero did. "And a total dedication to Christ and for Christ. With your and my prayer," this is Pope St. John Paul II continuing, "with your and my prayer, it is possible to mitigate this tribulation." Remember, there's a tribulation coming. Let's not stick our heads in the sand. It's coming. He's just saying we might be able to mitigate it. It sounds like Akita and our Blessed Mother's warning at Akita. Listen, it's coming. You better pray hard. You didn't pray enough. It's coming. You can mitigate it, but it's coming. And Pope St. John Paul II said, "With your prayer and my prayer, it is possible to mitigate this tribulation, but it is no longer possible to avert it, because only thus can the church be effectively renewed." Pope St. John Paul II used to say that part of the call, say that part as a call of his, as being vicar of Christ. He says, "A vicar of Christ is able to read the signs of the times and interpret what the Spirit is saying." The vicar of Christ, that's his title, that's his job. Pope St. John Paul II used to say, it's part of his call as vicar of Christ, to read the signs of the times, to interpret what the Spirit is saying, and thus, people don't like to hear the truth, tough, we should be stunned by the reason action of the current Pope Francis, who relegated the title of Vicar of Christ to the historical dustbin. Listen, that's the title of the job. That's the title of the Pope. Live up to it. Your family, the PNC applies, if something is true, anything contrary to it is false. Pope St. John Paul II, that says the title Vicar of Christ is his job, it's his duty. Anything contrary to that is false. Pope Benedict also warned us of the insidious dangers inside the church. Everyone would do well, by the way, to read. It's not that long. His 2010 Christmas address to the Curia in Rome. Pope Benedict also said the trials to the church come from within. Within. I'm not some conspiracy theorist. Pope St. John Paul II said it. Pope Benedict said it. The trials, the dangers come from within. So the insidious dangers inside the church come from within. From the sin that exists in the church, this has always been known, but today we see it. And these are his words. "Today we see it in a truly terrifying way." How's that for a Christmas message from the Vicar of Christ? You do well to go read the 2010 address to the Curia. Most recently, the great Archbishop Vigano also warned us that the Masonic octopus clutches the Catholic Church in its tentacles. There's a vivid image for you. He says it's neither a rumor, it's not some conspiracy theory. He says, nor is it a secret. They're out in the open now. This is Archbishop Vigano, the one who exposed McCarrick. Right in the Vatican, the very stronghold of the Catholic Church, Masonry has armed itself with diabolical patience and waited until it reached the levers of power and command. We could go on and on about the warnings of our Blessed Mother and the testimony of so many holy Catholic luminaries, but let us just for now rest in something else she promised. That after these times of great darkness, Mary's Immaculate Heart will reign, and those who kept close to her Son, who is the truth, will have their consolation and reward. So for now, let us build our spiritual arcs so that no matter what types of floods overwhelm the world, we will rise above them. Let us continue to be like the five wise virgins who filled their oil lamps so that they would be ready when the bridegroom came. And let us remember that no matter how bad things get, no matter how bad they look, no matter how frightening you might be, frightened, no matter how gloomy they may appear, our Lord triumphs in the end. All we have to do is keep the faith and run the race to the end. So let us pray always that our Blessed Mother watches over us and guards us and guides us along the way, the narrow way of her Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.